Here on Stolen Lives, we discuss brutal and heartbreaking crimes against children. Themes may include child murder, torture, and sexual, domestic, and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the babies in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that honestly, none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. February 2017, Dayton, Ohio. A mother called 911, telling the dispatcher when she went to wake her two-year-old son from his nap. His face was blue and he wasn't breathing. This same mother who had asked her boyfriend to make the call to emergency services, but he'd quickly fled the scene before emergency services could arrive. The same boyfriend, who was at the centre of a child abuse case against the child 18 months prior. This is a story of a mother who failed to protect her son, and her boyfriend who had caused the injuries to the two-year-old, akin to a fall from a five-story building. This is Brayden's story. Brayden Dwayne Lee Ferguson was born March 27, 2014, in Dayton, Ohio, to parents Kelsey Martin and Daryl Ferguson. Martin and Daryl were only kids themselves when they had Brayden, 17 years old and just out of high school. By his own admission, Daryl wasn't really in the right place to be a partner and a father at the time. He had a lengthy juvenile criminal history. When Brayden was only a few months old in June 2014, Daryl and an accomplice got into a fight with a third man named Ryan Adams. They'd beat on Ryan until he was unconscious and he ended up hospitalised. And then a few months later, Ryan would pass away from his injuries. Ultimately, Daryl Ferguson would be found guilty of voluntary manslaughter and aggravated assault. He was sentenced to 11 years in prison. It wouldn't be long before Kelsey Martin was in a new relationship. She quickly entered into a relationship with Ryan Lucas St. John. October 2015. Brayden was brought into the hospital because he was dehydrated and falling down. He would be diagnosed with a viral infection, which affected his ability to walk. Close to a month later, Brayden was returned to the hospital, this time with bruises all over his body. This prompted doctors to call Child Protection Services, or CPS as we refer to them in this week's story. According to Martin and St. John with Brayden in tow, they were all staying over at St. John's house the night prior, and 18-month-old Brayden had fallen out of his crib. And this was how he had gotten his bruises. Martin also stated that her son had some health issues which caused him to bruise easily. However, there were more bruises on his face and head, but also strangulation marks to his neck. Additionally, there was a scabbed burn on his toe, a blister burn on the bottom of his foot, and a scabbed burn on his ankle. St. John was placed under arrest. When he was interviewed by investigators, he would say he'd gotten up in the middle of the night to change and feed Brayden, but he denied having anything to do with his injuries. But St. John would be released from custody with no charges after 48 hours, since the police chief on the case had failed to respond to the prosecutor's request for more information. Following this incident, Brayden would spend 4 more days in the hospital recovering. He was also removed from his mother's custody and placed into his great-aunt Dawn's care. Child Services filed a complaint in juvenile court, requesting temporary custody of Brayden. As part of the complaint were text messages between St. John and Martin, discussing how to cover up Brayden's injuries and to not bring him into hospital. The complaint also stated that Brayden had a busted upper lip and a fractured skull. Additionally, St. John had a cut on his hand that looked like it could have been from punching someone. However, none of that was noted on the police report. According to Brayden's great-aunt Dawn, the abuse this toddler suffered was very obvious, that he had bruises all over him, on his legs, head and midsection. He had a skull fracture, and she was fairly sure that he had liver damage, which was likely caused from him being hit in the stomach. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors. March 15th, 2016. Dawn's custody of Brayden was extended. It was also ordered at this time that Luke St. John have no further contact with the toddler. Through all of this, Brayden's mother, Kelsey Martin, stood by her boyfriend's side, choosing St. John over her own child. She was also pregnant with his baby. And then in August 2016, Martin was awarded custody back of 2-year-old Brayden. And the reasoning for this was because Martin had completed all her parenting classes, maintained stable employment, and was present for all the supervised visits with her son. However, this wasn't all, here is your child and off you go. There were still a number of hoops to jump through before she earned the trust back of CPS, a social worker still visiting the home for regular well-being checks on Brayden. During all of this, Detective Lindsay Delaney was working on the child abuse case against St. John, and any requests she received from the prosecution, who were also trying to put their case together against St. John. All their requests for more information went seemingly ignored. Her case notes were also unfinished. Now, I know detectives and police officers are very overworked and they have a lot on their plate, but come on. This is a child that was almost abused to death, and here is his case file seemingly forgotten by the detective in charge of his case. His file basically gathering dust on a shelf. Late November 2016, there was finally an update on the file. That on November 19th, 2015, so a year earlier, Luke St. John had been playing with Brayden when he threw him up in the air and then caught him by his neck. The report was almost siding with St. John, stating that St. John was just being playful with a toddler and would often box with him, because that's acceptable playtime with an 18-month-old baby. That Brayden had simply fallen out of his pack and play on the day of his injuries. And as a direct result of this report, no further charges would be sought. Also, in November 2016, Martin gave birth to her and St. John's child. Less than a month later, in December 2016, Martin and her family moved into a 2-bedroom apartment at the North Lake Hills apartment complex in Dayton, Ohio. St. John's younger brother, Ian, also began living with them, sleeping in the living room. February 13th, 2017. Kelsey Martin had an appearance in traffic court for some expired tags. She worked at 7:30 a.m. and used the bathroom with Brayden. Then she took the little boy and put him back in bed with St. John. This was even though it was still part of the conditions of Martin's custody that St. John does not have any contact with the 2-year-old. According to Martin, because Brayden had been a little fussy that morning, St. John decided to get up and play some video games with him. Martin leaving around 8 that morning for court. St. John staying home with Brayden and the newborn baby. St. John's brother Ian had already gone into work for the day. Shortly after 9 a.m, St. John sent Martin a text message saying that Brayden had spit up. This sounded odd to Martin as Brayden hadn't been sick and he wasn't really a vomity child. When Martin pressed for more information, St. John was now saying it wasn't throw up but spit, but that she didn't need to worry and they were going back to sleep. Martin was back home at 10:30 a.m. and she saw Brayden sleeping in bed. So she and St. John smoked some weed, watched a movie and then took a shower together. Martin said throughout all of this time, she kept an eye on Brayden often, putting on the movie Finding Dory in the case he woke up, so he could just watch a movie in bed. We are now at 1 p.m. and Martin decided it was now time to wake Brayden up. But when she went to do so, she noticed the little boy's face was blue. She picked him up and ran into the living room, where she asked St. John to call emergency services. But instead of doing that, St. John called his mother and he left. It would be Martin who called 911. Martin told the 911 dispatcher that her 2-year-old son was not breathing, that when she had gotten home, Brayden was sleepy and appeared to be almost daydreaming. When paramedics arrived at the home, Brayden was rushed to Dayton Children's Hospital, and while Martin went in the ambulance with him, St. John had already fled the scene. I guess out of fear that he would be caught there in sheer violation of the custody agreement, and then in turn putting custody of the couple's newborn baby in jeopardy. Brayden was unresponsive. His pupils were fixed and dilated. He had significant bruising on his forehead and the back of his head, as well as swelling under the scalp. Braden's face bruised in a way. It looked like he'd been gripped with a hand. He had bruising on his torso and back, along with a burn mark on his ankle. Even worse, if that's even possible, Braden was showing evidence of severe brain damage. CT scans revealed a skull fracture, a large area of bleeding on his brain, and his brain was swollen. The toddler undergoing surgery to try to relieve the pressure in his skull. And while he did survive the surgery, his condition did not improve. Braden had no brain function, and so his ventilator was removed. 2-year-old Braden Ferguson passing away February 14, 2017. Now, obviously, police wanted to find Luke St. John, but he wasn't answering his phone and he was nowhere to be found, knowing that it was only a matter of time. St. John turned himself in. He started to cry hysterically, saying he'd never been in trouble before in his life, that he was scared he was going to go to jail. St. John told investigators that Braden was asleep the entire time he was babysitting that morning while Martin was out of the house. That it was only after he and Martin showered, at around 1 p.m, that they discovered the boy wasn't breathing. St. John insisted he had no idea what happened to him, that he had done nothing wrong. None of this made sense to investigators, given Braden's severe injuries and the fact that St. John was the only other person in the house, well, except for the newborn, who obviously couldn't have done anything to hurt Braden. Braden's autopsy is a horrifying read, the medical examiner likening his injuries to be similar to someone falling from a 5-story building or being involved in a high-speed car crash. Luke St. John was charged with 2 counts of homicide, 2 counts of child endangerment, involuntary manslaughter, and felonious assault. His bond was set at $500,000. April 4, 2018 would be the start of the criminal trial in front of presiding judge Gregory Singer. St. John's defence painting a picture of a loving father to not only his own children, but also to Braden, who he treated as his own. The defence also trying to create reasonable doubt St. John was the one who caused the injuries, as Braden's mother, Kelsey Martin, could have injured the toddler before she left. That all St. John knew was Martin telling him Braden was unusually unsettled that morning. The prosecution's key witness was fellow inmate, Dustin Middleton. He claimed St. John told him that after Martin left the home that morning, Braden had continued to cry for her, St. John putting Finding Nemo on in an effort to soothe the boy. But this didn't work and Braden continued to cry. That's when he spat up. For whatever reason, this enraged St. John. He grabbed the toddler's head and slammed it into the wall. He shook Braden, telling him to shut the fuck up, before tossing him to the floor. After that, Braden wasn't crying anymore. He wasn't moving. St. John picked him up and put him in the bed. And this is where Martin found him when she got home. According to Dustin, when St. John was telling this story, he was emotionless and seemingly unaffected, like he was reciting a grocery list. Now, we all know that inmates' testimony can be taken with a grain of salt because of all the factors at play. As in, if they're doing it for a reduction of sentence, for example. But in this case, Dustin's testimony was deemed credible. He knew details of the case that had never been made public, including Martin had gone to traffic court that morning and that St. John had put on Finding Nemo for Braden. The courtroom was showed graphic autopsy photos of Braden, causing some members of the public gallery to gasp, cry, and leave the courtroom. It took the jury less than 4 hours to reach their verdict, ultimately finding Ryan Lucas St. John guilty of all charges. He was sentenced to life in prison, with a non-parole period of 18 years. Judge Singer saying that St. John showed no remorse for his actions, also ordering him to pay restitution, the defence requesting St. John not to be placed in the same prison as Braden's biological father, for obvious reasons. Prior to sentencing, Braden's mother, Kelsey Martin, gave a victim impact statement from Braden's perspective. Quote, "My name is Braden Dwayne Lee Ferguson. I was almost 3 years old when my mum's boyfriend beat me up and killed me. I don't know what I did to make him so mad that he hurt me the way he did. I don't know why he ever did not like me. I don't know why he didn't love me like he loved my bubby. I tried to be good, I really did." Unquote. Kelsey Martin finishing her statement by saying that her former boyfriend would get what he deserved. St. John's father said that he believed that Kelsey Martin and CPS were the ones who were truly responsible for Braden's death. He claimed that CPS caseworkers had known that St John was living with a toddler, even though it was part of the custody order that he stay away from him. At the time of St John's trial, his and Martin's baby son was in foster care. Since the trial, Luke St John has appealed his sentence, but that request has been denied. And then in 2018, Detective Lindsay Delaney, the lead investigator in the initial child abuse case against St John, the one that resulted in him facing no charges for almost killing the toddler then. Because of this, Detective Lindsay Delaney faced her own charges. Charges for administrative violations, for not properly investigating the child abuse claims in 2015. She would be found guilty and received a 40-day suspension, which she really didn't get any punishment in the end anyway, because all but 5 days of this suspension was spent on vacation leave. An absolute joke of a punishment. A candlelight vigil was held for little Braden the day after he died, February 13, 2017, at Eastwood Park in Dayton, Ohio. More than 100 people came together to honour him.
He's a very well-loved and liked child.
Wednesday night, friends and family gathered at Eastwood Park in Dayton for 2-year-old Braden Ferguson.
Braden loved water. He loved pools. He loved the bathtub. He just loved water.
Braden was Victoria Bittner's grandson.
A very happy, healthy little boy that didn't deserve what he got. Speak out. Tell somebody. Get help before it's too late. I didn't suspect child abuse. I wish I would have.
And tonight, a family is left without their little boy, wondering why.
I'd give anything to have him back.
Braden's funeral was held February 14, 2017, at Newcomb Funeral Home in Dayton, Ohio. He was then buried at Dayton Memorial Park. Braden would later be described by those who knew and loved him as a happy-go-lucky child who loved sharks, taking selfies, playing ball, or running around with the family's dogs. Braden loved to go swimming and to eat his grandmother's pudding. He would just brighten any room he walked into with his infectious smile. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the story we discussed today, or any stories we talk about here on Stolen Lives, please search Stolen Lives Podcast on Facebook, like the page so you don't miss an episode, and join the Stolen Lives discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Instagram, Stolen Lives Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice and subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.